for our late midweek service. I trust all are okay and come with expectation and ready for church tonight. Amen. And let's stand and sing a song, He Knows My Name.
And I have a Maker, and He formed my heart, and before even time began, my life was in His hands.
Let's sing that again. I have a Maker.
I have a Maker, and He formed my heart, and before even time began, my life was in His hands.
He knows.
He knows my name, and He knows my every thought, and He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call.
I have a Father.
I have a Father, and He calls me His own.
Yes, Lord.
And He'll never leave me, no matter where I go.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
Let's sing that song, Shout to the Lord. Amen.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the one. My comfort.
song, Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Thank you for the cross.
And thank you for the cross, Lord. And thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the nail pierced hand. Wash me in your cleansing flow.
Services this Sunday with our brother Ben Narod speaking and communion as well. Also, we didn't receive a poster or anything, but there is
our services this weekend in Toledo, and tomorrow at Brother Paul on Fontaine's church. Brother Tim Humes from North Carolina will be speaking at 7 p.m. for all those who are interested in attending. Amen. All hearts, minds clear there. Well, I'm sure we all have unspoken prayer requests, like make known by not prayer stand. I ask our brother David Loberger to come lead us in a word of prayer. Also, over tithes and offerings.
Our heads. Oh, Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to come to worship you again today, Lord, just to lift up your name.
Yes.
Ask you just to be with us. Help us, Lord, just to surrender all, Lord. Just allow you just to touch our lives and change us, Lord, closer to you, Lord. Ask you to bless Brother Cam and the musicians. Brother Dustin, Lord Jesus, guide him, Lord. Give him the words to speak, Lord. Just use the tithes and offerings for your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And let's sing that song, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen.
And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter. I will.
that song, the token, amen, that the death angel pass. How many are glad they have that token? Start the chorus.
Let the death angel pass, God's Christ saved at last, by the token he gave.
Him
Praise God. We've got so much to thank Him for, saints. Amen. As our pastor makes his way out, let's sing that song, 10,000 Reasons. Amen. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship.
living word. Amen. And by the grace of God, we'll get into this a little bit more momentarily. But yet, if we were to have a topic, as far as maybe a direction, we'd like to go into Martha's omnipotence. Amen. And by the grace of God, I just pray if you could loan me a couple of amens. Maybe give me a little bit of a hallelujah. Perhaps just entertain the God that's within me that I desire to allow to speak tonight. I pray that you just enjoy yourselves in the house of God. Amen. So we'll work with the title this evening, Meeting the Living Word. And I pray that this will be a blessing to you. We understand that in the Bible, we find that there's so many thoughts that God brings by. And yet, I become more amazed and amazed that by the grace of God, you find that God, a lot of times, He allows thoughts to come by. And there's so many different ways to run that thought that at the end of the day, you can't exhaust it. You just can't finish it in one sermon. But yet, by the grace of God, I feel like when God is trying to move something into the hearts of His children, God likes to show you a revelation, Genesis to a revelation, amen. He likes to show it from the beginning to the end. He likes to be a type of God to show you, because remember, He said that any doctrine that you have, you should be able to take that from Genesis to Revelation, right? You should be able to make a full book revelation out of it, amen. But yet, this evening, we'd like to work with Martha a little bit tonight and just bring forth a little bit about her and perhaps show you a little bit about what she stands for and what she types. Amen? Because remember, you have characters in the Bible. A lot of times, you have individuals like, so to say, Jonah. And we realize that Jonah really received a bad rap. Amen? He ran away from God, but yet we realize that in the end of the day, it was definitely in God's plan to have him go the way he went, because there was a way that God would bring him to the people. Amen? So we know that even though Christians nominal would look at that and they kind of look down on it, and they'd be able to say, well, you know, Jonah, you know, it's like a lot of us, we'd say, oh, I don't want to be looked at like a Peter, right? Because Peter was a man, you see, he always did things that seemed to be so contrary to what a true Christian would be. But yet, we see that even God, He would allow these individuals many times to go astray or to fall in many ways. But yet, He would put that inconvenience to them in the Word of God so that you might gain what? You might gain a confidence through that to know that you can look at a child of God and to see that even though they did things that were not all the way true with the Word of God, that God would always find it pleasing in His sight to bring great things through them. Amen. Praise God. I think of another time we look down on Thomas a little bit. And yet Thomas, you know, being a man that he was, he said in different occasions, even in John 11, which we were not fully going to probably read tonight, but he even said in John 11, Jesus said, okay, let's go up to Galilee. And Thomas says, okay, let's go with Jesus. Let's go with Him to die. And he just had that attitude. Remember, Thomas would say later, he'd say, well, unless I touch His side, unless I feel that bleeding side or I see His wound there, I'll not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And we come and we look down and they say, well, they're just not very good Christians. But yet we realize that Thomas was the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus said, I've chosen 11 and one is the devil, we realize that in that 11 was Thomas. He was a son of God. Amen. He just had something different about him that God wanted to reveal to you. Do you realize that? Do you really think none of the other disciples screwed up? But no, God chose certain mistakes, certain lacks, and He would place that in the book so that you would be able to gain comfort from those things. You would be able to say, okay, I don't have to be a message robot in order to make this rapture, but I can stand, what? Under the mercy of the living God, believing though I fall short, there is a God who stands in my ignorance, in my failures. Hallelujah. So next, we turn, if we could, to the character and focus this evening. And we'd like to work with Martha. Amen. And by the grace of God, Martha is a character that is so looked down upon within the Scripture. But yet we find, in all honesty, I wouldn't say in the Scripture, but in nominal Christianity. But yet when we get a full view of what's going on, then things really begin to open up. But I'd like to start off, if we could, I'd like us to understand that if we would move to Luke 10:38, we see some very interesting characteristics, and this is pretty much where we find the appeal of Martha to Christian thought, the beginning of it. Amen. Now, notice there's not a ton in the Bible about Martha, but what is there is tremendously powerful. Amen. So, this evening, as we move to Luke 10:38, I'd like to start right here. Now, remember our title tonight is Meeting the Living Word. Amen. Now, of course, you should be able to get something out of the individual that we're using tonight to bring this forth. Now, notice in Luke 10:38, it says, "Now, it came to pass as they went," who Jesus and His disciples, "that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Now, notice very quickly here that we understand that, of course, there was Lazarus, right? He was the one that was raised from the dead. But yet, even if we knew, so to say, the family, that there was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Amen? And we see that, what, they were all siblings. But yet, here we see the first sign of Martha being brought upon us. And notice what she was doing. She actually went out and she met Christ and received Him into her home. Okay? Now, this is a lot of times what we may look over, but I'll look over it right now. But I want you to keep that in your mind. Because notice in the 39th verse, it says, "She had a sister called Mary." Who was this? This was Mary Magdalene. This was the one that poured ointment upon Christ's feet. Amen. Now notice here, it says, "which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word." So notice Martha invites Jesus into the house and says, "Come on in." So Jesus begins to speak, and now Mary, she also being in the home, she now sits at Jesus' feet and begins to listen to the Word. Now, this is where we find notoriety falling upon Martha. We see in the 40th verse, it says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving." Now, what was the woman's place? To serve. Right? Now remember, even in your type, your prophet talked about how in the book of Revelations it said that God would have His bride and they would be serving Christ in eternity. He said they serve Him wherever He goes. And your prophet would pick up and say, that was Christ's wife. Amen. So notice here that we see Martha is serving the Word, serving all the people there. But notice Mary sits down and Mary wants to hear the Word. But notice it says Martha was cumbered, or she was loaded down with much serving, and came to Christ, came to Him, and said, "Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." Sounds pretty fair. Well, you know, a woman's got to serve. Right? Now notice this. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Now notice what Jesus does. Jesus basically tells Martha, okay, that is your role, but there is one thing needful that you are supposed to do. Now notice this whole context. Jesus would not even have been in the house if Martha would not have received him into the house. But when it come time for the word to speak, Martha was cumbered about with a lot of other things instead of caring about the word. So Christ rebukes her and basically says, well, there is one thing needful. You didn't do it. Now notice what he also says. He said, Moses hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So notice there is a choice to make. And one was better than the other. So here we find that now Christ bringing a correction to Martha. We find the attention of Martha now soured. Because in doing what she thought was right, she was actually what? Fulfilling a role that was less than what God wanted to bring to her. Now you're going to like this because, in all honesty, this really does take a good turn. But yet, remember, we are talking about characters and they find themselves notorious over little things that they would do. But yet, that was the people's reputation given upon them as far as their idea of what they were because of what they did. But we understand that God, He never changes His mind about the attribute that He sent from Him. Amen. They were always part of Him. They would always find grace. They would always be solid. And we find it all the matter that God, even in doing this, it was done for a purpose. Amen. Now, let's notice here. So here, Martha kind of gets looked down upon a little bit. And I find this, we've said this before here if you might remember, but the prophet uses the word dilatory many times in the message. But the word dilatory, and most of the times he uses it, he talks about Martha. But I want you to catch this very quickly here, because I want you to see what happens from this statement that Christ makes. In Perseverance 1962, it says, faith always admits the words right, and faith always acts humble. Faith always admits the word is right and always acts humble. Look at Martha and Mary. When little Martha had been made fun of so much, or been talked about being so much about keeping the house clean. But when Lazarus died, she went to him. Look how persistent she was. Persistence. Perseverant. So notice here that if we had looked at the time that Christ came to Martha's house, we'd see that the people were actually making fun of her and belittling her and looking down on her like she was less of a Christian than what Mary was. Now, did she accept Christ? Yes, she received Him in the house. No one else would have ever even heard Him should she not have received Him. But this is all going to come to head. Now notice here, if you look in Hitchcock's dictionary, the word Martha, it actually means one who becomes bitter. Sure. A lot of times we might be able to apply this to ourselves. If you see where I'm going. So notice, as we continue, I want us to see a few things here. In Perseverance 63:11-16, it says, "And then, after he was dead, it was all over. Then here come Jesus slipping into the city. So then they know they was going to get criticized, because perhaps was already criticized." Remember, now we're going to jump into John 11 now. And remember, Martha and Mary sent for Jesus right when Lazarus becomes sick. But remember, Christ could do nothing except God showed him. And what? He literally waited for a day, and then another day, and another day. And what? He allowed Lazarus to die. But in his mind, God already revealed him that Lazarus' healing was not something from a sickness, but it was something to be brought forth from the dead. Amen. But notice, we start here, and now we see the prophet saying that criticism is coming upon Christ and upon the attitude of this prophet. That he just let Lazarus get sick and die. Praise God. Now let's move very quickly to John 11, if we could. John 11:19, if you would. John 11:19, it says, "And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him." Wait a minute. What did we notice about, what was it, Luke 10? Luke 10 said that when she was out there, she received Jesus into her house. She was out and she received him. And now, notice the same perseverance that called Christ in the house for a rebuking is the same perseverance that here has a dead brother, but now she hears he's coming and she immediately goes out to see him. Let's continue. Notice, semicolon, "But Mary sat still in the house." Pay close attention to this. So notice, while Martha went out, Mary sat in the house still. She heard that Jesus was coming. She said, "Well, I'm mourning over death." Let's continue. 21st verse. "Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again." Let's stop now and finish our quote. In Perseverance 63:11-16, in 182 it says, "But Martha, she had been very dilatory." Notice this. Seemingly. Now, a lot of times you find the prophet associating Martha with dilatory. He always says, seemingly. Very important to catch. Because we got everybody and their brother saying, "Martha was so dilatory. Martha's so dilatory." You know what the prophet said? Many times he says, "seemingly," or "they looked upon her as dilatory." Now notice this. He says, "But Martha, she had been very dilatory about fixing a place for Jesus to sleep, a place for him to eat, and so forth." So what was she about? She was very concerned about the well-being of the Word instead of allowing the Word to be her well-being. Now, let's look at this word dilatory. The word dilatory means given to procrastination. Not not proceeding with diligence, making delay, slow, late, applied to persons as a dilatory messenger. A man is dilatory when he delays attendance or performance of business beyond the proper time. So, why was your prophet calling Martha dilatory? Was it because she was a bad Christian, an evil Christian? Well, no, she was caring about what? About what would happen to Christ instead of sitting under that word. She was delaying hearing the word because she was working on setting up for Christ. She was preparing for His coming. But she just wasn't doing it in the best way. Hallelujah. Now notice this. Finishing our quote. Even asked Jesus one time to make her sister come help her. But, so she's dilatory, why? Because she was asking the sister to come help her instead of sitting down under that word. Now you're going to get something out of this. Okay? Now notice this. It said, but down in her heart, faith struck. What brought the word to her house in the first place? Faith struck. Seemingly, church. While Mary sat still, crying, and doing nothing about it, and give up. What was Mary's attitude? She gave up on the resurrection. She gave up. She thought things were over concerning her brother. So what are you saying? Martha didn't. Let's continue. So notice it says, Mary give up. Martha slips out of the house and down through the city. No doubt she met someone on the street, said, where is that divine healer that you had around here? What about Lazarus now? She passed right on by them. What do you say? It was God's timing not to bring the supernatural on the scene. But when He did come, when she heard, it was revealed to her that the Word was coming, she arose. She was ready to meet the Word. Let's continue. Then Jesus came and called 64. 55, it says, Martha, she went out. She always showed her colors. Notice that she wasn't just exactly seen as loyal as Mary. Was she as loyal as Mary? Yeah. She just wasn't seen as loyal because of the mistake that she made. So notice, all the people are looking down on her. They say, okay, there's Martha, but she's not as good as a Christian as the rest of them. She's not with us big timers. You see, Martha's just not as loyal to God as the rest of us. So what? What one would view as loyalty, God would look at that and not say that one is more loyal than the other. Let me say it like this, church. You're moving into a bride type here. You're moving into something here, if you can pick up what's being said. Now notice here, she wasn't seen as loyal as Mary, because Mary was listening to the word. But Martha, when she was cooking dinner for him and things, she showed what she was right then. Because when Jesus came back to town, no doubt, but what many of them said, now after this boy is done dead and buried, now this holy roller preacher slips back into the city. No doubt that when Martha started out, some of them said, look, there she goes now. If I was in her place, I'd give her a piece of my mind. I'd tell him about it when I get there. Oh, no doubt but that she will. We'll watch her go and do it. If she had, this story wouldn't be reading the way it is tonight. Hallelujah! I'm sorry, church. I just get to a place that I must identify myself in the Word. You have to identify yourself in the Word. And when someone would look at you and say, well, you're not upper echelon message, or you don't belong in our group, or you're just a little church that we don't care about. You don't need flyers. You don't need anything like this, church. Don't worry about that, because that doesn't mean you're in and you're not. You are born into the kingdom. That's what places you in. You say, oh, my pastor never gets invited to preach in big meetings. Who cares? Oh, she left me a whole bunch of them down here. She was prepared for this. Now notice, we see that here it was that she just wasn't accepted into mainstream. A lot of times you want to say, why is this preacher not accepted and not talking about me? But yet you know preachers, you say, why is this preacher not accepted here? Or what's going on? Or what they do? Or what do you do here? Don't you understand that this is how God has always operated? Amen. I've seen gifts in this message, and I have been so amazed that these gifts have not gone to higher levels than what they are. I've seen gifts like that. But yet, we have to understand the mind of God. Even in this message, there's fame. Even in this message, there's money. And we understand that it does not come down to that with God. This is coming back down to the original seed, church. And we must get back to a place that we're only identified with the Word and how we can see ourselves in the book. If you get to a place, you say, okay, unless I'm in this social circle, or unless I'm part of this church, or I'm part of this or part of that, or if the pastor don't talk to me every day, if you sit and put yourself in there, you're not fit for a rapture. You've got to get to a place that it is you and God alone. Because notice, when it came time for the manifestation to bring life back, Mary had given up, while Martha, the one who was seen, who had the image of being a lazy Christian, had the image of being what? A Christian who cared more about other things than to sit down and what? You know how it is. Say, well, he don't know his message very well. I told you a story one time about this young man who was going to try to marry a girl, and his dad said, well, he don't know the message well enough. He can't marry my daughter. And when does it come down to knowing the message, to being an acceptance for everything in life? I mean, if you understand what I'm saying. I mean, the boy, he had, I believe he had the Holy Ghost. I don't know. Could have not, maybe not. I don't know. But from the excuse that I was given, that's what it was. But you see, our sign that someone is in the body is when the Holy Ghost is evident. Now, I just brought that just for a second as we begin to move on. But notice our thought here as we begin to get into this. We find that here criticism was coming down because Martha was chasing the Word in a time that it looked like nothing but death could prevail. I'm going to read you one more. Now notice here, if we could, blind Bartimaeus 61, E29 says, I think that's where Martha always kind of dilatory seemed like. But when she knowed that if referring to that to this woman, if the Shunammite woman know that God was in that prophet, that was God's representative of that day, and if God was in this prophet, how much more was He in His Son? Now, this is actually moving now, showing you from a place that she was being viewed as dilatory to a place of showing her that even though she was viewed as dilatory, she still believed the Bible. She still believed that God could do the same thing. And there's numerous quotes. Your prophet talks about Martha and said she must have read about the Shunammite woman who, when her son had died, she called for the prophet, said all is well, and her son was dead, but she knew that that prophet would bring her son back to life. So here we see dilatory. So to say, but we find out that she had a greater revelation of God's omnipotence than even Mary had. So now, notice what your prophet said. He said, if God would listen to His prophet, this is what Martha was saying in her head, how much more would God listen to His Son? Well, you see what revelation we should have in this day? You have the Son, I wouldn't say at your disposal, but He is here for your every need. Because He's not something to dispose of. He is something to what? To put on the scene, right? We know your prophet preached calling Jesus on the scene. Amen. If there ever was a time to call Jesus on the scene, church, it's time for the revelation. Amen. It's time to believe it. Amen. Notice the separation between the two. One sat in the house. Remember, your prophet said she quit. She gave up. But not Martha. Martha had a faith. Even though she was looked at as less of a Christian, she knew she heard that word coming. That word could produce. Hallelujah. One more, and we're going to move on. Have not I sent thee? Phoenix, Arizona, Wednesday 62, it says, E102, it says, Martha, she was aware that he was after a while. Now, Martha, they had been saying that she was dilatory in things about keeping her house clean. Notice, we're watching the quotes over and over that the people are looking upon her and saying, okay, she's not a very good Christian. She cares more seemingly about the world than she does Jesus Christ. But we find when manifestation comes time, she is uplifted and the rest are left down. But there is a revelation behind it, church. Let's continue. Notice this. She was dilatory in things about keeping her house clean. But when the showdown comes, well, I don't know. What are you looking for? Do you not know that a showdown is getting ready to happen in this country? Whether you'll stay with Christ or whether you'll leave Him? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Hallelujah! Amen! So notice, when did she show her color? It says, but when the showdown come, she showed her color. Yes, sir. You've got to believe something. If you don't believe God, why are you even here tonight? When you've done everything you can to be one, you try to love everyone. You try to treat everybody like they're worth $1 million, right? And then you still see it and you say, God, why am I like this? Why do people still? Why am I rejected? Or why is this? Why is that? Why? You see, you can play why games all along, but if you can just get into the mind of God, remember, Abraham didn't look at Lot and say, "Look, he's the mayor of the city now." He didn't look and say, "Oh, he's got the green pastures. Oh, he's sitting in the gate of the city. Oh, he's loved amongst all the people." He sat on the outside in the wilderness and just waited for Melchizedek to come his way. Amen. Finishing our quote. So, but when the showdown come, she showed her color. Yes, sir. Mary was sitting weeping because her brother was dead. But Martha went out and met the living Word. Hence your title. So, what was it? Can you see it? The difference between Mary and Martha. Martha accepted a dead religion. But even when the dead religion come upon, when Martha caught that Christ was coming, she went out and met the living Word. Hallelujah! Now let's continue here. Let's go to John 11, 25. Now notice this. It says, "And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Who's the revelation given to? Now, like I said, there's a lot of ways you can run this. Because remember, John 11 is also a type of the shout, voice, and the trump. Amen. With the trump happening at the feast in John 12. Right? Now notice here, we find that he says, in the 26th verse, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this?" Amen. So notice, Christ is actually speaking above her revelation level. And she's not even really fully getting what he's saying. Because he's saying right now, your brother can live. I am the resurrection. I am the life. You don't have to accept this death. And notice, the 27th verse, we preached a little bit about this a year ago. It says, "She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." So notice her revelation. She was showing that she had a revelation that thou art the Christ. Well, if you have a memory that serves you well, in Matthew 16, Simon Peter had answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Remember? Christ said, whom do you say that I am? He said, you're the Christ. must come down, that whatever your eye looks at, we walk by faith and not by sight. We have to quit relying on what we see by sight and say, I am blessed, I am living, I am strong. Why? Because the resurrection has struck life in me. So notice, she said the right things. Notice in the resurrection in 1953, E85, it said, there's the question, here's the woman in the right place. The cogs are coming right together. She's standing by God's representative. She's got a desire in her heart. She's got the right man, the right place, the right attitude, and she's confessing. You are just exactly what you said you was. You're the Son of God that was to come into the world. And I believe that whatever you ask God, God will give it to you because you are His representative. Brother, something's got to take place. Something has got to take place. Let me give you a special revelation, church. What is the difference between that day and this day? The difference in that day and this day is that was Christ fulfilling the Son of Man ministry. He was a prophet in flesh to the people, which means that Martha, she had to wait till Jesus come. She could call for Him all she wanted, but until He come, that's just what it was. But now, in this day, He's moved into the Son of God ministration, which is God in you. Amen. Which is God with you. You know the God that said, I'll never leave or forsake you, church. It was this God. He wants the supernatural to be part of you. Amen. Right? We hear preachers say, well, if you just gather the highlights that it says in the book of Acts, I believe that there is so much that wasn't written, church. And they make it sound like, well, yeah, that's all that happened right there. Do you realize that that is a thought of pessimism against God's movement? Do you realize? You say, well, how do you say that, brother? Do you realize, church, that you can say, well, Jesus Christ, all He did, His highlights were right in the book. Sure about that? Remember, your Bible said that if you could write the whole works of Christ, it would take all the oceans, water worth in ink to write those things. Well, come on, church. We say here, say, well, we've had some miracles in this church. Are you satisfied with that? Well, we've got almost as much as the Acts church. I'm not looking for the miracle, the number of miracles. I'm looking for the presence of the King right inside the church. Don't you understand? You have to break the cycle of revival and death. You have to leave a dead experience and take a dead experience into a revival that makes you right into the rapture. Well, what is the bride's revival? Well, it's just a meeting. It's just a weekend meeting with really good stuff happening. Don't you realize that, church, we are supposed to be getting into the place that we are on such a communion level with the Word Himself that you're back in the garden? when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't have the Holy Ghost. God took it from him so he could die as you. Show me where you have to die without the Holy Ghost. Show me where it's acceptable to have an experience with a God who's so foreign that you can't really give an example of how he's real. Hallelujah! Just got to get more hungry. We just got to want it more. You got to want to cry out. You want to set to see a living God, church. Remember what characterized Martha. She was, when she heard the word, she wanted to go meet that word. You say, oh, if Christ was coming. Don't you realize that the word has been made known to you, church? Well, what is the revealing of the person to you? It's the revealing of the word to you. But it's supposed to come more intimate than just a knowledge form. It is supposed to come in a revelation form that is supposed to fulfill the book in your life. Amen. Now, notice here, he says, something's got to take place. But notice he says, the cogs are coming right together. Do you know what a cog is? In watches or gears of all sorts, you have a gear which is basically a wheel and it has teeth on it. A cog is one of those teeth. Okay? And when the cogs, when that wheel, you ever watch a watch, it'll actually have one mainspring. Then that cog will be moving around and it makes all the rest of the gears move. Right? Right? You spin that up, it moves one gear, and the next gear moves the next gear. And so now your prophet is likening what? He's likening Christ as a cog, and he's likening Martha as a cog. Amen. So what? They were made to work together. But do you realize that sometimes over time, if those gears begin to wear, that what? One cog will actually slip amongst another one and they won't be able to work right, church. We have to be right with God. The cogs were made to perfectly move together. Now, let's go a little farther. Uncertain Sound, 1960. He says, now then, the first thing you know, little Martha come running out there and she said, Lord, oh, I like that. See? She titled him what he was. He was her Lord. If thou would have been there, my brother would not have died. See? He said, even now, whatever you ask God, God will give it to you. Nothing uncertain about that, no, CC. Notice, that's when two positives meet. Catch this. That's when two omnipotents meet. Let's get a revelation of this. You like that? So Martha's omnipotent. Christ is omnipotent. Now notice how your prophet breaks this down. See, when one omnipotent she had perfect omnipotent faith in Christ. Notice, and Christ was omnipotent. So what do you have? You have the resource of the power, but your prophet said you don't have power, you have authority. And where is your authority? Your authority is in the omnipotent faith that's in you. If you are part of God, there's got to be something omnipotent about you. And what? Being the feminine attribute of God. Don't you understand? That's what separates Satan from God. He can't humble himself to God. He wants all the power. He thinks
omnipotent. So we come by, and the only thing God gave us that's omnipotent is what? Our faith. Well, now you see why it's coming down to faith. Everyone here, can you say, I have omnipotent faith? If you want to, say it with me on three. One, two, three. I have omnipotent faith. Boy, that's pretty weak. One more time. One, two, three. I have omnipotent faith. Amen. Not trying to sound like John Hagee Church, but sometimes we need to speak something like we believe it. Amen. Because you're possessing it right now. You have it right now. So here Christ was omnipotent. And Martha brought her revelation that thou art the Christ. Remember what your Bible said. She said to him, she said, whatever thou wilt ask God, God will give it thee. Whatever. You see the revelation she had with God? Do you realize that Martha is the key piece to calling the brother up from the dead? Remember, Lazarus is also a type of the shout voice in the trump. And the voice was the voice of Christ that says, Lazarus, come forth. What enabled the voice? Your prophet said the cogs got you working together. And God directly used Martha. What? Her faith. She had a perseverant faith that God was the same and that God could do anything. Church, we've got to get to the place that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So notice, if we finish this off, he says, she had a perfect, infinite faith in Christ. I ain't making this up. I'm reading this. Perfect, infinite faith in Christ. The dilatory one did. The one who didn't seem like she had a full revelation of the Word. Because she couldn't talk like they talk. She was viewed as lazy by them. Lazy regarding the Word. But was God's opinion about her that she was lazy regarding the Word? When it come for manifestation time, God made manifest out of her and not Mary. I hope you understand, church. I'm not fighting to be something big. If I was, I'd be going everywhere I could and be trying to somehow advertise myself to try to make my ministry bigger or to try to attract people to myself. I'm not interested in that. I am interested in attracting the King of Kings. Don't you understand? This might sound crazy, but I have a revelation that the greatest revival on history of the earth could start and happen right here. Not that this is the only place. I believe it's going all over the place. But I believe that could start right here with just the ones I have. Well, hallelujah! What do you believe? But only if I can get into the message, gang. It's not coming down to that, church. This is coming down to crunch time, the revealed Word. Showdown. I ain't trying to separate, I ain't calling people foolish, I ain't calling people devils. But notice, she had a perfect, infinite faith in Christ that He was the Lord, and knowed whatever He asked God, God would give it to Him. In other words, she said, you just speak the word. That's all you have to do. Whatever you ask God, God will give it to you. That's omnipotence, all-powerful, because He just said so. See? All right. And He was all-powerful. And when two omnipotent powers meet, it's a contact then. The cogs. Hallelujah. Where's your power, church? We say, oh, we can only have healings like Brother Branham. We got to constantly look at His miracles, church. You are capable of the same miracles. Not the same ministry, but the same powerful God can manifest Himself in your life, in your church, in your area. But how many of us would be saying, well, I've got omnipotent faith. I've got infinite faith in Christ. Would you know how you get infinite faith in Christ? When you come in full contact with the person. You see why you have to come back to Eden? Because Eden reveals the Word to you. You know, that's like I keep on saying. Look at the confidence that a married couple can have in each other. I know my wife is going to get my clothes ready tonight. She does it every time. She does a great job. Sometimes she matches things up and I say, well, I just wear it. Sometimes I do the same thing. But you know what? She always gets it around. She always does it right. And I have such confidence in her, I don't even worry about it anymore. I get to study the last minute, and I know that my wife's already got things ready for me. Hey, babe, just like my dinner. Oh, yeah. She's learned. Dinner is important. And she always has it ready. She always does it. Even if it's 9 o'clock, she's still getting it around. She knows she didn't hit a home run. She's back on the case trying to do something else. Just the way she is. She wants to please her husband. I've got a revelation in that woman. She's a daughter of God. I got a revelation in her that she loves me. Amen. And you know what? She can look at me the same way. She doesn't say, oh no, I'm going to have to go get a job. My husband can't support me. She just sits back. Ask her day, she say, when do you want me to go back to work? Is there any time you think I should go back to work? She said, no, whenever you want to. She didn't say, oh, we're running low on money, we're going to die. It's over. She has a confidence that I'm going to provide for her. Probably because she's holding the checkbook. Right? But she comes up to me all the time. She's got that checkbook. She can sign Jesus Christ all the time. Catch it. She says, honey, we need this. Can I get it? Sure. Writes a check out. Comes up to get it. Confidence, church. Don't you understand? You have to have a faith in God. You have to believe in God. This rapture is coming down to faith. It's not coming down to some knowledge, church. There'll be a lot of people with knowledge of this message going into the tribulation. I hate to say it, but it's truth. But it's coming down to the fact that you can place faith in the knowledge of the person that's revealed to you. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. my little infinite faith gang. Praise the Lord. That's right. Now notice this. I'm getting ready to close. Give me a couple minutes here. I'm going to read you another quote. This is, then Jesus came and called, 64:213-204. Your prophet says, Martha, are you coming? Or are you going to sit in the house with Mary? Notice this. Are you going to stay back in some organization and say, oh, my church don't believe it this way when Christ is made manifest? Are you going to sit back and say that? Or are you coming out? Well, I'll tell you, when I know today, this is the hour. Death hangs around you like Jairus' daughter. So look, your prophet likens Martha going out to meet Jesus and Mary sitting in the house as a type of those who are willing to go out and meet the living Word, and the rest will stay in their organized position. Because church, it's coming to down to it. Will you fulfill the voice? Hebrews 11 says they're waiting on you. They're waiting for you to manifest Christ. I'm not here to get into the big argument and big debate, okay? Well, I'm going to speak the voice out and da-da-da-da. The Bible says Christ was the archangel. I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't fully understand. I don't know. But yet, at the end of the day, I just know that He has to make known Himself in the body of believers. They must resort to the living God who is nigh unto them. Now, I would like to go to one little more place as we finish off. Just a little thought. Now, notice this. In John 11:28, it follows Martha saying, Thou art the Christ. We see the 28th verse says, And when she had said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. So notice what Martha's position is. Martha is used by the voice of Christ to bring Mary out to see Christ. Secretly. It's not a public show. I fully don't understand this. I'm just trying to show you a little something. But notice, it said, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto Him. Now, I don't know if you've been catching this, but I have. But do you realize how in all these end-day scenarios, you're finding that the Bible's saying that people arise and go out to meet? The wise and foolish virgin, it said what? They heard the midnight cry and they arose and went out to meet Him. Garden of Gethsemane, after they had failed to pray out, we understand that what? It said that Christ come and said, Arise! Let us go! And then Judas met them with the army. Arise! And here we find that the difference between Martha and Mary is Martha had the revelation that Christ was omnipotent, didn't accept the death, and she arose immediately and went out to meet him. But notice, Mary's attention wasn't quickened to the word until she seen it on Martha being brought to her. Hallelujah. Now you do whatever rest of it with you that, because I don't want to go too far because I don't fully understand it. I know there's more to it, I just don't understand it. Let's stand. So where are we at? What are we doing? Which way do I go? What's going on? Well, church, you're hearing the word. The word says it's you. The word says, go ye out to meet him. The word says, arise. He is living. He is true. He is God. He does care for you. But does the revelation come back and say, I have an omnipotent faith in you, Lord? Because you see, what quickens your invincibility to you? What quickens your salvation? The Word. So what quickens your invincibility? The Word. See, a lot of times we feel like we have to wait for a burning bush to show up. Or God to, he's got to do something so supernatural. You got to knock me off the horse with a pillar of fire. You got to do something like this. When we have the Word right here in clear view right in front of us, we're saying, yeah. See? Go ye out to meet him. Arise. Hallelujah. Well, I don't feel it. Because remember, we have had the devil fight so hard to stop you from becoming what you are. When you have no social standing that you can say, I'm in. The only thing that tells you you're in is the Word Himself. You love God? Hallelujah. Maybe you have a heart's desire tonight. You say, God, what I want, God, is I want a greater revelation of you, God. Lord, I want you to work within me, God. Lord, time is short. Have we got to the place that we realize that's true? We say, God, I just know I need more of you. Amen? So it comes down tonight. Say, God, here it is, a Friday night. Here's a sermon. It's done now. So, what do you want from God? Did God show up? Did God come and preach? Remember, if I was pointing towards myself or it was pointing towards you being God, as far as you being capital G, or if it was you being this or being that, then we'd have something to worry about. But when all it points to is you becoming united with the Word and having faith in that one God. Because remember, it's called rapturing faith at the end of the day. So, can you see it now? God, I need rapturing faith, God. I need faith. There's a whole another sermon you can preach off that thought. But do you see it? We've never been people to fight for a limelight. But do you believe that God's got a limelight on you? Can you say that tonight? Say, God, you know what? You are paying attention to me. God, you do care about me. God, you haven't left me at the curb. Because the whole point of this sermon is to show you that God didn't forget about you. Love God? Let's just pray. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love you tonight, God. And we thank you, Lord, for being such a great God to us, Lord. You're an amazing God. And Lord, as we even find, Lord, within all of it, God, is that, Lord, Mary was looked down, or Martha was looked down upon, Lord, in such a way, Lord. But we find out, Lord, at the end of the day, Lord God, that, Lord, that you used Martha for great things, God. And Lord, Lord, we're not necessarily wanting to be as far as noticed, God. But Lord, we just want to be noticed by you, God. We pray, oh God, tonight, Lord, that, Lord, we're not asking, oh God, for like a supernatural and then a relationship, God. We want a relationship, God. We want a revealing of the Word of God to us, God. A revealing of the person, God, in every form, spirit and in truth in our lives, God. And Lord, show us that we're your bride, God. We know that your Word is revealed at God. We pray, oh God, that Lord, though it looks a lot of times, God, like it's so far out of sight, or it's hard, or something this or something that, God, we just want to stand here and say, God, but I know you placed a faith deep inside of me, God. Bring it out. Cultivate it, Lord. Work it up in the wilderness, Lord, and let it shine for you, Lord. Lord, we know, God, we're sighing and crying for the abominations done, Lord. We have family members that need to be saved, God. And Lord, we're longing, Lord, that you would reveal it to them, God. And Lord, as we've been working, God, we know, Lord, it's an atmosphere that you have to bring forth out of us, God. We pray, Lord, let us yield to that Holy Ghost, God, and take control of our lives, Lord. We just pray it now, Lord, that you just give us that ability, Lord. We just love you with all our hearts, Lord. We just say, God, Lord, we apply ourselves to your Word, Lord. And may you apply, oh God, all that you have, Lord, all that you are into our lives, God. Become a real God to us more every day, Lord. We just love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd be happy to pray for anyone tonight. By the grace of God, just another little sermon telling you about who you are. You are she. Go ye out to meet him, church. Praise God. Let's sing that song, Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you.
And Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. And though I can't see my eyes, deep in my heart, your presence I'll find. And Lord, I believe in you. I'll always put my trust in you. And let this whole
worship in the name. Amen.
Light of the world, you step out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you.
more time, no music. He's worthy, isn't he, saints? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Sing that song. As we're dismissed, let's sing that song. There's no one like him. Amen. Searched all around, looked all over. There's no one like him. Amen.
And there's no one.